Christmas Day. So what would be the best topic to talk about? Today I have picked peace on earth. When we talk about peace, immediately I think of there's no peace in Europe, in Ukraine, even though it's 13,000 kilometers away. There's war there. People died. Building destroyed. Family broken. There's no peace there. Because of no food export or less food export, people in Africa, they suffer hunger. No peace. Even in here, in Australia, we feel the effect of that war. Petrol prices go up. And then everything, every daily living cost goes up as well. People start to worry. There is no peace. Where is that peace? People may be afraid of COVID. This all fear, this all worry dwells in our heart. Where is peace? There may be even peace. There's no peace within your heart. There may be conflict between you and your family members. There may be conflict between you and your friends in your workplace. There seems to be peace is what we need. Peace is not just on earth. We should have a peace of mind. We want to have a peace of mind. And also we want peace in our heart. When you have done something wrong, the guilt within condemned us. Conscience is haunting us all the time. We have done something wrong or try to accuse of somebody. There's anger, there's hate. There may be jealousy in your heart. So even though outward, a lot of Christmas decoration, but we may not find the true peace inside. Dear friends, where is that peace? Jesus has a name. He is called the Prince of Peace. When he is the Prince in your life, then he brought peace in your life. The Prince, Jesus came from heaven. So there's peace in heaven where he rules. But when that Prince of Peace came down to earth, he brought peace to the earth. He brought peace to you and me. We may ask, where is that peace now? As we look around, there is no peace. So we are going to think about why and how we can get that peace today in our hearts. Let's go back to the very time when Bible mentioned how Jesus was born. If we look at Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 11. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field. Imagine there's in the wilderness, in the field, very quiet, dark at night. Keeping watch over their flock by night, it's nighttime. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. Oh, an angel appeared. Now, let's focus on this angel. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel. Before the angel say anything, if someone told you, oh, I saw an angel, what comes to your mind? Immediately, because out of my curiosity, I would say, is that a man? Is that a woman? Long hair? What is he wearing? Does he have wings? Is he flying? Can he speak Chinese? What sort of angel? I would be very curious about that angel. What does he wear? What would be the fashion in heaven? Does he wear shoes? You know, so many things I would like to ask about that angel, that angel, that angel. But dear friends, If someone ring your doorbell, ding dong, bring you a parcel, okay, would you ask much about that delivery man? No, you are not interested with that delivery man. You are interested with the parcel, the box, the gift. You focus on that. Similarly, we shouldn't focus on the angel. That's why the Bible tells us little about that angel. But the most important thing is not the messenger, but the message. What is that message? The message is important. And what is that message? Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. Don't be fear. Good news of great joy. What kind of good news, if we don't look further down, what kind of good news you expect? If you are a working man, you may say, oh, am I going to be promoted next year? Oh, I may get my dream job. After that, I may get a dream house. I may have a better life. I can have more money. If you are sick, you may think, oh, is it my health? If you have all kinds of trouble, if you have addiction to something, oh, can I be set free? For the Jews, they are under the Romans' rule. Can we be set free? Is it the good news about we can be set free from Romans? What kinds of good news you expect? If tonight an angel appeared to you, good news, what would you say? Is it about I can have a car? I can have a house? I can find my loved one? The lost thing I have found, what kind of good news? And notice this good news is for all the people. A week ago, something like that. Oh, good news, Argentina, World Cup. Good news for Argentina. But if you are at France, oh, people, oh, they got so angry. So good news for Argentina, maybe not good news for France. Good news for the rich may not be good news for the poor. Good news for the men may not be good news for the women. Good news for the young may not be good news for the old. But notice, this is good news for all people. In other words, everyone is involved. Everyone has a part in this good news. If I hold my tongue, if you didn't read further down, what kind of good news for me? Sometimes when you, at Christmas time, normally people exchange or bring out their present. They get someone give you a box. Oh, shake it. Oh, not chocolate again. Shake it. What is it? What's it in the box? God has given you a good news. What's in it? We may be so anxious to open the box. Not this. I got plenty. So what is the gift God is going to give you from heaven? A messenger delivered a box to us. What is that gift? And you look at it. For unto you is born this day the city of David. A savior. A person. A savior? What do you mean by a savior? I don't need a savior. We may want a lot of things, but we may don't feel that we need a savior. If I'm sick, you give me a doctor. That's great. Just what I need. But if I think I'm healthy, I don't need a doctor. Nope. Thank you. Oh, a paramedic. Oh, come to try to save you. No, thank you. I'm okay. So, why would I need a savior? Why would all people need a savior? Why would this so precious gift given to me from heaven is a savior okay, but save me from what? I would rather you give me money. I would rather you give me a lot of good things. A savior? People may not fully appreciate that. How does this savior relate to me today? And further on, this savior is called Christ the Lord. What does it mean by Christ? Christ is a term translated from, it can be translated as Messiah, which means the anointed one. In the past, God anointing people with oil, pour oil on their head, for a king to serve God, for a priest to serve God, or for a prophet to serve God, they need to have oil, holy oil, anointing them. That means they are God's chosen one, separated their life to serve God. So this Savior is also Christ. God chose them. That means if we look at the Old Testament, throughout history of mankind, God prepared His salvation. God has something in His mind. We may not know what we need. We just look at what we need today, outwardly. I need food. I need shelter. I need a good future. We don't know our true need is. But thank God, He knows what your real need is. Dear friend, God knows your heart. God knows the conflict within your soul. You need to be delivered. We need to be delivered. We need to be saved from our anger, from our hate, from our guilt. We need a Savior. Because all this anger, hate, jealousy causes all this conflict, causes all this struggle, causes this war within families, causes all this hatred, even among close relatives. There is no peace in our heart. The battle is inside. All this guilt, all this worry, all this fear. We need to be saved from this. We think put on a mask can save us from the COVID outside. But what can you do inside you, my friend? We need something greater. We need someone to truly know our real need is. God knows you, and God knows what our real need is. He sent His only Son. He planned this throughout history. Step by step by step, He comes. And now this Son of God, this Lord of life, this Prince of Peace, came down on earth. Wow! This is a great thing. If we look further down, and this will be a sign for you. The angels spoke to the shepherds. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. We wonder this Lord of life, why He was born in a manger. He should be born in a palace, enjoying the luxurious life that can be. But no, He came and wrapped in a manger. And suddenly there was, with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying. Now, the first angel is proclaiming a message. But this multitude of heavenly hosts, they are not giving you a message. They are praising God. And saying, glory to God in the highest. When they see this baby was born in Bethlehem, the whole angel burst out. The only picture I can, certainly I can think of is, you know, when the Argentina, they won the World Cup. All the Argentinians, you can see them exploding their joy, shouting, celebrating, not one day, not one hour, almost a whole week, crowding the street, jumping there. And I think it's something maybe a little bit similar. You can imagine the joy. But this is not on earth. On earth is so quiet. But in heaven, suddenly it opens. There's such a joy there. That speaks of the glory of God. Let me put it in another example. Imagine the time when we go back to 1967. It's in July. Something very important happened. Anyone knows? 1967, July. You know? Yes. First man set foot on the moon. When someone said, when I think, if you have TV at that time, you will be interested. Do anyone who knows the first person who set foot on the moon? Neil Armstrong. Okay, Neil Armstrong. The second one is Aldrin, Buzz Aldrin. Okay, he's a very good Christian. Now, when the first man set his foot on the moon, imagine in America, not only in America, but especially in America, all the Americans put the American flag on the moon. Wow, America. So great to be American. I'm sorry if there are Americans around here. I can imagine. Because that setting foot on the moon speaks of how wise the Americans are. They are wealthy. They are smart. They are rich. How advanced in technology. How bold they are to go up to the moon. That speaks of the glory of America. That speaks of the glory of man. So when he stepped on the moon, everyone rejoiced, even though we are not Americans. Wow, man can set foot on the moon. Impossible, unimaginable. And we shouted with joy. The whole world, man can achieve that. But I think it's Aldrin, the second one who set foot on the moon, he said something similar like this, not exactly, because when I first heard it, it's in Chinese, so I have to translate a little bit. When Jesus set foot on earth, this is much greater than man set foot on the moon. Man set foot on the moon speaks of the glory of man's wisdom, the glory of man's strength. But this, when the Son of God from heaven became a baby and set his foot on earth, what does it tell us? It tells us about the glory of God. Tells us about his wisdom. Tells us about how he longed to save us. How he's willing to humble himself. An all-present God, omnipresent, become a baby in the manger. The angel can't help themselves. They shouted out, "Glory to God. The Lord of life, the Prince of peace, became a man. Glory to God." So the whole heaven rejoiced, giving praise to God. Glory to God. And not only glory to God. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. So not only glory to God, but this Prince of Peace from heaven. When man rebelled against God, there is no peace on earth. Remember in Genesis, brother killed brother because jealousy. there's no peace in family, even close family. There's no peace in our heart. Jealousy. Why? Lord, you accept him, not me. Jealousy, hate, starts to fill up our hearts, damage our life. There is no peace. No peace on earth. But there's peace in heaven because angels worship God. Where God rules, there is peace. When there's a prince there, when he rules, he brought out peace. And this Prince of Peace came down to earth to brought us peace, to bring peace to us. There is no peace, but the salvation comes. We need that Savior. He comes. And in Isaiah 48, in the Old Testament, the Lord says, not too fast, there is no peace for the wicked. When you have done, when we have done something wrong, the guilt is inside. Our conscience will condemn us inside. There is no peace. Even though there may be no war outside, there is no peace. If you borrowed me $10,000, and I say to you, I'm coming soon, get ready to pay me back. I'm coming soon, get ready to pay me back. So even though you are enjoying, $10,000 I can spend, but in deep in your heart, oh no, he's coming soon. You can't be at ease, even at night. Oh, what happens? I'm enjoying now, but what happens if there's a knock on the door? Is that Paul? You may be trembling. You can't have a good night's sleep. Because you don't know when he will come. Similarly, when we look in the next verse in Romans, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It did not say all have sinned and do something very morally or corrupted, perverted things. No. What is the definition of sin? Fall short of the glory of God. When your whole life is not for glorifying God, what you think does not glorify God, what your hands do, even do a lot of good things, but glory for yourself. All the road you walk, all the way you go, everything you do is for yourself, for glorifying yourself. Even though it may not be wrong thing, but for glorifying yourself, not for glorifying God, then you are a sinner. And there are consequences. And one day, God will come and judge for the sinners. If there is no justice, there will be no true peace. We can only find the true peace when the justice is done. Just now I say, if you owe me $10,000, you can't have a good night's sleep. If I tell you I may come at any time tomorrow, you can't have a good night's sleep. But somehow, someone paid for you $10,000. This is a receipt, and you have that receipt. Justice is done. I owe nothing now. Then you don't have to worry. Then you may even welcome me. Because there's no debt there. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now we are justified by His grace. Jesus has His grace forgiven us. When He died on the cross, price is paid through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So that is our Savior. The true cause of our no peace life is because we have offended God. Because of this offended God, we hurt one another. We offend one another. No peace. No true peace until Jesus came and paid for my sin. He died on the cross. That is the redemption. That is in Christ Jesus. That is the Savior. Thank God He sent us the Savior. That is why all have sinned. And all people need a Savior, including you, including me. We can have, when our sins are forgiven, then we can find true peace. Next, in Romans chapter 5, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, God counted us as justified. Now you are okay because Jesus paid for your sin. If I owe you money, I can't sleep. But someone paid for me. Jesus paid for me. Now we can call justified. Okay. When God looks at us, you are okay now. Jesus paid for your debt. By faith. We can't, by our work, not how hard I can work to earn my salvation. I deserve punishment. But Jesus died on the cross for me. Now we are saved. Now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace. Peace come down. Prince of Peace come. He brought peace to us. But for those who have faith in Him, we have peace. Do you have peace, my friend? We all need peace. We may not be much affected by 13,000 kilometers the wall in Europe, but look at your heart, look at your mind, look at the guilt inside, your conscience still haunting you about what you have done wrong. One day, if this account not settled, you have to face the judge. Sorry, you need to pay for your debt, which is death. So either you accept Him as the Prince of Peace, or one day we're going to see the judge. Now you can choose. This relationship you have to choose, my friend. And some people think, why? We need peace on earth. But actually, next, there is no peace inside. We want peace on earth, but we can't find peace. Where is the peace I'm dreaming of? If there is, next, no God, then there will be no peace. They come together. God brings us peace. No God, no peace. So how can I find peace? Next. If we know Him, then we know peace. Know God and know peace. Which know you pick? No God in my life. No peace. That's the consequence. If you know God, knowing God is a joy, my friend. To know Him is eternal life. To know Him is joy, is the greatest joy we can have. Knowing God is not a burden, my friend. Knowing God is a blessing, is a joy. Knowing Him. So we have to know and go
to know more about this Jesus. Next. So verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So, dear friend, I hope this may be a beginning for many of you. Go. See Jesus. Look at him. Look at his life. Look at his kindness. Look at his patience. Look at his strength. Look at his wisdom. So amazing. Know him is a joy. It's not religion. It's not dead thing. It's a living person. He is the gift from heaven. We are so anxious to have what Christmas gift I'm going to receive this year. I tell you, the greatest gift from heaven is our Lord Jesus. Know him. Knowing him. Let us sing the last song. Knowing you, Jesus. And we can sing from the bottom of our heart, knowing you, Jesus. Let's stand.
Let us pray. Indeed, Lord Jesus, you are the best. You are our joy. You are our righteousness. You are the gift from heaven. You are the Lord of life. You are the Prince of Peace. Show us that you came to brought us peace. You came so that man can reconcile with God and find true peace inside. Lord, we ask that you continue to work in our heart and let us experience you, to know you more and more. We thank you for today, and we ask you for your blessing to those who hear the message and respond to you. May your blessing come upon them. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen.